Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Rock Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as The News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly.
I love the way you walk. I love the way you talk.
This opening number, Carolina Girls, is brought to us by General Johnson, and we'll be hearing more about beach music later on in today's program, and it'll close us out as well. But first, these trivia questions. Our trivia questions come to us today from www.eventtalent.com. Question number one, which musical group is known for these hits, Yakety Yak, Charlie Brown, and Poison Ivy? Is it A, the Dominoes, B, the Fantastic Shakers, C, the Isley Brothers, D, the Coasters, or E, Chairman of the Board? Hint: this group worked with songwriters Lieber and Stoller, and their songs were featured in the Broadway musical Smokey Joe's Cafe, the recording of which won a Grammy Award back in 1996. Question number two. In 1958, a couple of enterprising high school boys in Raleigh, North Carolina, answered the Soviet challenge of Sputnik by forming a band called the Satellites. Their rhythm and blues music became the foundation and essence of soul music and the Motown sound, but in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, Florida, and Alabama, the name that applies is beach music. What's the name of this beach music band? Hint, here's a snippet from their hit, Summertime's Calling Me. So what's the name of this beach music band? Answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. The transition section for today's program is brought to us by BGORecords.com and MusicOrb.com. Today in music history, and today is the weekend of August the 12th and the 13th. If you were born on August the 12th, you share a birthday with Percy Mayfield, the R&B singer. He was born on August 12th, 1920. And, of course, there's Mstislav Rostopchin, and he's the cellist conductor. He was born on August 12th, 1927. Buck Owens, born on August 12th, 1929. Porter Wagner, August 12th, 1932. Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits, August 12th, 1949. Pat Metheny, the jazz guitarist, August 12, 1954, and Suzanne Vega, August 12, 1959. Or if you were born on August the 13th, you share a B-day with Giovanni Gabrielli. He's the Italian composer. He was born on that day, August 13th, 1612. George Shearing, the blind pianist composer, Lullaby of Birdland, born on August the 13th, 1920. David Mahler, the composer, August 13, 1944, and Dan Fogelberg, August 13, 1951. Deaths in music history this weekend includes King Curtis, the soul saxophonist. He died this weekend back in 1971. Joe Text also died this weekend back in 1982. Miscellany in music history this weekend, well, back in 1957, Buddy Holly and the Crickets first entered the charts with And That'll Be the Day. And back in 1966, John Lennon apologizes for his Jesus Christ remarks at a Chicago press conference. And back in 1972, this weekend, it was Derek and the Dominoes' Layla hitting the charts. Back in 1978, 6 years after that, the Commodores hit number one with Three Times a Lady. Back in 1990, Curtis Mayfield is paralyzed after a tower fell on him before a New York concert. And finally, back in 1994, Woodstock 94, held in New York, about 350,000 people attend. Featured bands include Green Day, Nine Inch Nails, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Aerosmith.
Every time I look in the mirror, all these lines in my face getting clearer. The past is gone, it went by like dust to dawn. Isn't that the way?
Aerosmith. In local rock news, we see this article titled, Death Cab for Cutie Heads for Home. This is written by David Menconi, News and Observer, August the 5th, 2011. Last month, the members of Death Cab for Cutie got an up-close look at something that they dearly wish they hadn't seen when a stage collapsed in a storm. It happened in Ottawa, Canada, during a performance by Cheap Trick, and Death Cab was scheduled to go on next. Miraculously, no one was killed. More than a month later, calling from his car on the way to the airport to resume touring, Death Cab drummer Jason McGeer still sounded shaken. I feel like somebody I know was in a car accident. I'm going to see them at the hospital, he said. So I'll see my drums, check for scars and bruises. I've gotten word that things seem okay, but nobody really knows for sure. We lost some equipment that got crushed, and everything else was sitting in the rain for 3 or 4 days afterward because of the insurance investigation. But we had been standing on the side of the stage 2 minutes earlier, watching Cheap Trick, McGeer added. Then the clouds got dark, and we were about 30 feet away when it happened. It was insane. Very few things can make you feel as powerless as Mother Nature. Time moves very slowly, but you still have no time to react. We could only hope for fair skies and nothing stronger than gentle breezes when Death Cab for Cutie played Carrie's Booth Amphitheater on August the 8th. The tour is a showcase for the band's latest album, Codes and Keys, Atlantic Records, which offers the band's open-hearted sentiments with dark overtones and atmospherically moody pop. As usual, frontman Ben Gibbard's vulnerable voice is Death Cab's most recognizable sonic signature.
Of a thousand rainy days, but when I heard her voice, oh, it led me to the end. Yes, it led me to the end, 'cause when she sings, I hear a symphony.
Codes and Keys is a transitional effort which comes through in some of the lyrics. And if you feel just like a tourist in a city you were born, then it's time to go. But much of the transition happened on a personal level, behind the scenes. The article skips down and ends with this. A lot has happened to everyone, and there are definitely those small directional codes signifying where home is, McGeer says. There are a lot of themes of home on the record. We all interface with codes and keys every day, whether accessing voicemail or unlocking your house. At this point in our career and personal lives, there's a code to being happy and positive. But that comes out of Ben's lyrics. It's where we were coming from, but I still feel funny trying to describe or define that.
You're sweet in the belly of the beast. In the belly of the beast, and with her song.
This next article comes to us from HuffingtonPost.com, published on January 14, 2011, entitled, For Baby Boomers, the Music of Youth Carries Heavy Weight. When my mother used to get teary over Bing Crosby or Perry Como songs, I didn't get it. Why get so emotional? My friends and I didn't do that when we listened to the music we liked. Well, guess what? Fast forward about 45 years to the recent 2010 Kennedy Center Awards show. The honorees included Paul McCartney. And as James Taylor and Mavis Staples belted out Hey Jude and Let It Be in tribute, there wasn't a dry eye in the house, among those there in person or those watching from home. we baby boomers soften like Play-Doh in a child's hands. I was fortunate recently to attend the last performance of the James Taylor, Carole King, Troubadour reunion tour in Southern California, where I watched graying and balding fans, many in T-shirts, stretched over muffin-top middles, dance from the stands, sing along, and wipe their eyes. After 2.5 hours and 2 curtain calls, they still stood there, not wanting to leave. Nothing else binds people of an era like the music of their youth. The anthems that transported them to adulthood and forever evoke a time when anything seemed possible. The songs never stop recalling the optimism that has dimmed with the unstoppable passage of time. For baby boomers, the realizations are especially stark because we weren't going to get old. We felt special, privileged by our numbers and the rosy view from our prosperous childhoods. We grew up in a time of plenty, riding in our parents' gas-greedy sedans, but also a time of fear, a time of fallout shelters and practice drills. For nuclear attacks, I still have the metal dog tag that my classmates and I wore around the clock in the year of the Cuban Missile Crisis. We vowed to make the world more peaceful, safer, and less cruel. We would put our faith not in what money could buy, but in the goodness of human nature. Anything was possible. We protested war and corporate greed. We planted organic gardens and opposed mass production. We believed in the strength of the individual and the power of numbers. Yet today, the country is engaged in not one war, but two, and the gulf between the haves and have-nots has never been wider. Over the years, we've seen our share of James Taylor fire and rain, terrorism, recession, assassination, hatred, and bigotry. Many of our hopes and aspirations are badly tarnished, some abandoned, others scaled way back. But we have elected our first African-American president. The Cold War's over, the Berlin Wall down, and we haven't tested a nuclear weapon in almost 20 years. Progress has been made in harnessing alternative power and in developing fuel-efficient cars. Social media has confirmed our belief in the power of numbers. Although we haven't created the world we envisioned, we have made a difference, which is all any generation can do. It turns out that we weren't unlike our fellow human beings of any age. We won some and lost some. Leaving the Anaheim Arena that night last summer, what I read in the watery eyes around me was the realization that indeed the sun is surely sinking down and the moon is slowly rising. The words hit home now in a way they couldn't when we were young. The lyrics didn't lie to us back then, we just heard them differently. And the songs never let us forget that we once felt invincible, and we once meant to do more.
Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be,
let it be. So, what do you know about today's feature genre, beach music? Mr. Ken Martin recommended this as a feature on this program and is here with us in the studio today. If you don't mind, Ken, please tell us a bit more about this genre that is so much a part of North Carolina music history.
Well, let me give you a description provided by www.digitaldreamtour.com. Beach music is extremely popular in the Carolinas as far north as Virginia and as far south as northern Florida. It has nothing to do with the surf music or Beach Boys or California. It is mainly R&B music with a beat that is good for doing a dance called the shag. Very simply stated, the shag is a slowed-down jitterbug with a few fancy steps, but it was danced slightly differently depending on your location in the southeast. Basically, a preferred song to the shag is 120 beats per minute.
The night we met, doing the shag, doing the shag. Happiness we reach down at Myrtle Beach, where it all began.
Beach music was born after World War II and evolved from two different sources. It is a combination of big black band sounds, such as Tiny Bradshaw, Dodd Rose, Lucky Milner, and Paul Williams, and the country and blues of the South. The jukeboxes at the beaches of the Carolina were instrumental in exposing young people to this new sound. Most of the jukeboxes in the clubs down by the beaches, the black and the white beaches, were stocked with many of the same records. The white kids found this new music fresh and addictive, and a new dance, the shag, was created around the early R&B sound. White kids could hear the music of the late 40s and early 50s on the black radio stations in larger cities of the Carolinas. Also a major force was the 50,000-watt WLAC station from Nashville, Tennessee, which broadcast R&B at night for over 30 years. The problem was that because of the segregated society at the time, white kids could not celebrate the music in their hometowns. The Carolina kids escaped to the beach, away from their parents, preachers, and teachers, to party, drink, and dance to their beloved music. Beach music has evolved over the years and is still going strong today, 60 years later in the Southeast. Although most of the music on this list is over 40 years old, beach music is truly a timeless culture. In the Southeast, beach music is popular with people of all ages from 8 to 80.
Interesting. So what then are the major hits of this genre?
Well, according to the website I listed earlier, the top beach music songs are number one, 60 Minute Man by the Dominoes. Number two, Carolina Girls, General Johnson and the Chairman, which opened today's program, by the way. Additionally, number three is I Love Beach Music by the Embers. Number four is Miss Grace by the Tams. Number five, Summertime's Calling Me by the Catalinas. Number six, Stay by Maurice Williams and the Zodiac, which will close out our program at the end of the day.
When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May. I guess you say, what can make me feel this way? My girl.
Number seven, My Girl by The Temptations, which is playing in the background now. Number eight, Cool Me Out by Lamont Dozier. Number nine is Under the Boardwalks by The Drifters. And number 10 is Myrtle Beach Days by The Fantastic Shakers. Others that are listed in the top 100 include The Platters, Mary Wells, Marvin Gaye, The Four Tops, Coasters, Isley Brothers, and of course the Chairman of the Board.
I understand that the songs in that list published on May 15, 2007, entitled 100 Greatest Best Beach Music Songs, were ranked based upon their initial and lasting popularity among beach music fans, and on their impact and influence on beach music and its culture.
That's correct, Randy.
And what evidence, Ken, do we have that beach music is still popular in North Carolina?
Well, according to this morning's News and Observer, there is still an ongoing beach music festival right here in Raleigh. There is a picture of it accompanying this article, which shows in the Midtown Beach section of today's paper a crowd dancing during the Midtown Music Beach series at North Hills last Thursday as the Fabulous Keys performed. Band of Oz, an eight-member group from right here in Raleigh, is scheduled to take the stage from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. this Thursday. This concert will continue through August 25th. Additionally, according to an article published in the Washington Daily News on August 30th, 2009, by Greg Caskey, titled Shagging on the Waterfront, Downtown Group Benefits from Beach Music Festival, it is not only still popular, it is a genuine fundraiser for communities in North Carolina. This particular example is called the Pirates Beach Music Festival, and it recently was moved from the Pitt County Fairgrounds to the Washington Waterfront. The founders, through Main Street Productions, agreed to find sponsors and book bands if DWOW would take care of the logistics and attain the necessary permits for this event. DWOW stands for Downtown Washington on the Waterfront, by the way. DWOW as well as several other area nonprofits, will receive revenue through advanced ticket sales. Advanced tickets for the event cost $15 each.
Oh, when the sun beats down and burns the tar up on the roof, and your shoes get so hot you wish your tired feet were fireproof, under the boardwalk, down by the sea, on a blanket with my baby.
Actually, the move from Pitt County to the Washington waterfront was a no-brainer. The Stewart Parkway and the promenade running parallel to the most beautiful place on God's green earth. The festival is intended to provide a family atmosphere with coolers, chairs, and blankets allowed. Finally, the website www.visitnc.com states that the 2011 Beach Music Festival returns to the beautiful Washington waterfront on Sunday, September the 18th. A great time for a beach and live music fans, featuring the Coastline Band, Chairman of the Board, the Craig Woodard Band, and the Spare Chains. Tickets are $15 in advance or $20 at the gate. Tickets are available through the Washington Visitor Center.
Well, thank you, Ken, for bringing this music information to the listeners of TRRS.
It was my pleasure.
In contemporary rock news, we see this story published in the newsandobserver.com on the 23rd of January 2011, entitled Pop Music. Before they recorded their debut as Tennis, husband and wife, Patrick Riley and Alina Moore, spent six post-collegiate months sailing the eastern seaboard. That explains the nautical and geographical references that inundate Cape Dory in songs like Waterbirds, South Carolina, and Seafarer. It doesn't, however, account for the sunny nostalgia that is the album's main charm. Sings with youthful swing and swagger, with lots of sha-na-nas and wo-o-os that blithely echo the Chiffons, Shirelles, and other early 60s girls groups. Riley plays trebly guitar in shimmery and jangly lines that sometimes recall early 1980s United Kingdom bands such as Orange Juice or the Pastels. The homemade lo-fi sound of these brief songs, the 10 clock in at less than 29 minutes, contrasts winningly with the classic melodies and Moore's extroverted vocals. Fans of Camera Obscura, The Raveonettes, or Best Coast should smile. This next article comes to us from Entertainment Weekly, published on the 29th of July, 2011, entitled New Summer Playlist. All maxed out on this season's ubiquitous radio hits, we bring you 14 fresh hot weather jams from recent and upcoming releases. This is written by Leah Greenblatt and Melissa Mayers. Beyoncé Countdown, not since Stevie Wonder guest on Sesame Street have numerals been delivered with so much boogie. Ticking off from 10 like the soundtrack to NASA's funkiest ever shuttle launch, Queen Bey unleashes one frenzied, fantastic R&B riot. Foster the People, Houdini. While the L.A. dance rockers indie hit Pumped Up Kicks plays on, we've abracadabbered over to their shimmery foot stomper, so irresistibly sing-along sunny that it practically comes with its own beach pass. Then there's Adele, rumor has it, if Rolling in the Deep was her requiem for love gone wrong, this rollicking girl group throwback is payback. The best revenge isn't that she's having a summer fling, it's that her man's the last to know. Then there's Colby Calais, Brighter Than the Sun, All Airy Handclaps and Sky Challenging Superlatives. Her acoustic strummer radiates such blonde girl optimism, it fills us with cheer and bitter, seething jealousy. Blake Shelton, hey, laying on the charm so thick you couldn't lift it with a pitchfork. His banjo-driven barn burner celebrates the joys of hay, baling it, shouting it, and most important, rolling in it. Then there's Ida Maria, Bad Karma. 'Tis the season for short skirts and shorter relationships, but this rocker's got post-breakup rage. She sounds like Joan Jett on a bad day, and that's a very good thing. My morning jacket, first light. To fully experience this blissed-out rock epic, listen to the golden blasts of horns and guitars at the outdoor show. One warning, its psychedelic visions might land you in the chill-out tent. Then there's Real Estate. It's real. If the Beach Boys were indie rock burnouts from New Jersey, they'd make dreamy surf pop songs like this, perfect for lazy days spent huffing copper tone. And then finally there's Toro y Moi. Still sound, breezy beats, hazy vocals, and one extra groovy bass line go down sweet and easy like a watermelon, aqua fresca. And finally, this review of Gillian Welch, The Harrow and the Harvest. CDs of the Week, three new releases, and this is from The Week magazine, July 29, 2011. This long-awaited album is vintage Gillian Welch, full of devoutly traditional folk music performed with a loose, natural confidence, said Chris Minchner in the AV Club. Along with her longtime collaborator, guitarist David Rawlings, Welch achieves a sound that is steady in purpose and sure-handed in execution. Welch took her time crafting this latest batch of Dust Bowl folk tunes. 8 years have passed since her previous release. What she did during that break apparently is carefully hone a group of songs that are a distinctive blend of pretty but severe, says Benton Ratliff in the New York Times. So how did you do on those trivia questions today? Answer number one, the answer to the first trivia question is answer D, the Coasters. They were the group known for the hits Charlie Brown, Poison Ivy, and Yakety Yak. They are listed in DigitalDreamDoor.com's 100 Greatest Beach Music Songs. And answer number two, the beach music band performed by those high school boys from Raleigh, North Carolina, who initially called their band the Satellites, is the Embers. They've been inducted into the South Carolina Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame and were named North Carolina's official musical ambassadors. They've opened for the Rolling Stones, done commercials for Budweiser and Pepsi, played the Olympics and President Clinton's inauguration, and created the soundtrack for Endless Summers. Well, as much as we'd like for you to stay, we've run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.